Pause recording. Button.
This is day 12 of the February challenge, and today I'm supposed to talk about evolution, as in Charles Darwin's On Origin of Species. I don't really have a lot to say about evolution or evolution, really, to be honest. I know that the theory is that one inherits various traits from one's parents, and in terms of what we need to live a useful existence, any helpful characteristics then get passed on to the next generation and so on and so forth. And when I was looking on Wikipedia just to see what it had to say, it mentioned ostriches and how birds, you know, ground birds developed lots of strength in their legs over the years, and then eventually they didn't use their wings for flying anymore, etc. So yes, I guess I do believe in it, and I think I just wonder if your parents are horrible people, does that then make you horrible? Because it doesn't necessarily, does it? But then I suppose it could do, and that prospect is quite scary. But that really, to be honest, is all I have to say about evolution. It's a bit deep for me. So I thought instead I would talk a little bit about my teachers from school and evoke some memories. So my first teachers were at nursery school, which was part of the Royal School for the Blind in Wavertree. They had a separate building called Clifton House, and they used that for a time as a nursery for children. So I started there at 2.5. I don't remember huge details about my very first teachers. I know I had one called Miss Hawkins, and I remember singing carols at the Christmas concert with her and learning carols. And I know we had Mrs. Armstrong and another teacher called Mrs. Richmond. But I don't remember them in great detail. They used to play us a lot of records and things to listen to. And, you know, in the summer we spent a lot of time out in paddling pools and things like that. And, you know, we did really have a nice kind of childhood at nursery school. But then when I moved up to the infant part, my teacher for several years was Miss Wares. Miss Wares was Scottish originally, although there was only bits of what she said you could sort of recognise that she, you know, she had a Scottish accent, but only bit, you know, certain parts of what she said, mostly her accent was English. I think I spent a lot of my infant life being quite frightened of Miss Wares, because she one of the main reasons was she used to do give us sums, and instead of having Braille sums, as in written out on Braille paper, we had these things called cuborhythms. Cuborhythms were cube-shaped, as you would imagine, and they had dots on them. And depending on whereabouts you positioned the cuborhythm, it would form a Braille number. Apart from, I'm just trying to remember, yes, and I think they also had another, like a little line on them, which could be used to separate the sums from each other. So Miss Wares would put the sums on the cuborhythm board. You stuck these things in a board, and then you would have to put the answer underneath. Well, in Braille, the 5 and the 9 are the opposite way round. So Braille is made up of 6 dots, which form a Braille cell, and the I is dots 2 and 4, and the E is dots 1 and 5. And as a child, I used to always get 5s and 9s mixed up, always. Never any other numbers, but 5s and 9s were my thing. And so sometimes if there was a sum with a 5 or a 9 in it, because I didn't know which one it was, I would, I would get the sum wrong. And she used to smack my hand and tell me I was careless. And these cuborhythms as well were really easy to knock over. But there were sort of good things about Miss Wares as well. When we were in her class, she used to do a lot of playing the piano and having us sing and do like action songs and things like that. Like, you know, one finger, one thumb, one arm, one leg, keep moving, one finger, and all that kind of thing. And so, you know, it was quite interactive, and she used to take us into the gym and do "What time is it, Mr. Wolf?" and things like that, which we all really liked. So there were sort of good parts of her classes as well. Interestingly, as I got older, she became the deputy head, and the older you got, the nicer Miss Wares became. And I'll never forget when I left Wavertree in Liverpool at about 12 years old. We were always allowed a little treat before we left to go on to big school. And we could choose what activity we wanted to do. It could be a meal out, or it could be horse riding, or it could be anything. Anyway, I chose horse riding. And I think myself, another girl called Julia Proctor, and Paul Peel, we all chose to do the same thing. But I think Julia was ill the first time, and Paul, for some reason, was off school. So she took me on my own. And I thought that would be the end of that, and I had a lovely time. And I'd started to ride a few years earlier, so, you know, I had a lesson and everything. Anyway, she could see how much I loved it. And so when Julia and Paul came back, she took me again. And then she took me for a third lesson on my own. So effectively, I got three treats, and I'll never forget her for that. I think she was called Diana Wares, and it was absolutely lovely. I was so delighted that she'd, you know, given me all three of these treats. As I got a little bit older, towards like 7 or 8, I moved into Miss Wilkinson's class. Christina Wilkinson, she was called. She was a partially sighted lady, but very, very lovely. And she used to play something called an auto harp. I've not seen an auto harp for years. It was like a sort of harp, but you could press buttons to do the chords. And she used to spend a lot of time singing with us. She used to give us what we called some cards, which were sums written on cardboard in Braille. And then you'd have a Braille machine and you write the answers. So thank goodness we weren't using the cube rhythms anymore. We had proper sum cards in Miss Wilkinson's class. She introduced me to the world of Enid Blyton and the various folks of the Faraway Tree. Silky Moonface and all those people, and it was like a whole new world to me. But she brought it further alive by inventing various songs about the different characters. So she had like the Slippery Slip song, all about the slippery slip slide that you went down to get to the bottom of the tree. And she had a song for Mrs. Washalot, and I think she had a Saucepan Man song and different things. So she, you know, she used to make her own songs up. She used to have us sing ordinary songs as well, like Cosher Bailey had an engine that was always needing mending and things like that. And again, she used to play us a lot of records with stories on and things. We used to go to the shop every week, and we each had so much. She used to put all the money into a box, and she knew how much every product was, and we could each have whatever money to spend on those products. And she kept a very careful record of it. And those of us that couldn't see had to form a partnership with those that could see a little bit. I think I was in Miss Wilkinson's class for about 2 or 3 years. She used to have us write a lot of stories and things. She really, I think, was a very good teacher. She rarely got cross. I think I got one smack in the whole time that I was in her class. And we also, at that time, were given several lessons with another teacher who I was never in his class, but if I didn't mention him, it would be a travesty. It was a guy called Ron Dela Cruz, and Mr. Dela Cruz used to take us for reading stories and learning poetry and things like that. And he was fantastic. He could do any accent under the sun. And he used to read us the Narnia books. Oh my goodness. And things like The Boy Next Door by Enid Blyton. And we used to sit there absolutely entranced by the whole thing. He taught us poems, you know, like Who Has Seen the Wind by Christina Rossetti and various different things. Like, I remember one called A Glass of Lemonade. But he also wrote a lot of poems. He wrote a lot of things about Liverpool and Liverpool Football Club. I only wish I'd kept as many as I could. And I used to have some of them written down. I don't anymore. But there's one I do remember, which a couple of his class said at one of our Christmas concerts. And I'll say it here for posterity. It's one he wrote about Liverpool Football Club. There are many better ones that he's done, but this was just the one I happen to remember all the way through. At least I think I do. And it went something like this. I don't remember what it was called, but it went... It was Boxing Day at Anfield. Mr. Paisley was looking grim. Liverpool ought to have been two up, but they'd gone and let three goals in. Come on, lads, shouted Liverpool's leader. You can do much better than that. You've had too much turkey and pudding, not to mention mince pies and that. What's after that? You've had too much turkey and pudding, not to mention mince pies and that.
Slide to unlock. Audiobook. Pause recording.
I've only for editing. Never mind. I remember the rest of it. So then it went to Mr. Paisley's words were not wasted. They had the desired effect. McDermott and Lee went off on the spree and scored in the very next breath. Then Thompson volleyed to Souness, who chipped it to Money and said, come on, lads, let's have some action. You've heard what the boss has just said. Money proved an investment, as good as any you'd get. He sent their keeper sprawling as the ball cannoned into the net. Goal followed goal. It wasn't a match, it was more of a massacre now. Only one thing troubled the mighty cop. What was it that threatened their peace? Well, there hadn't, as far as they'd noticed, been a single goal from Dalglish. Come on, Kenny lad, they chanted. Don't get left on the shelf. How do you wish, that canny man muttered, and promptly headed the 12th. Well, I've heard of the 12 days of Christmas, a delirious copite called out, but we've had them in one day at Anfield, of that there can be no doubt. So now it wouldn't surprise me if those Lime Street Lions roared and jumped up, or the Liver Bird flew through the tunnel, or Everton won the cup. Crikey, I used to be able to say that without even having to pause. It just shows you I'm getting old now, because I can't remember it all. But that was basically the poem. I don't think I missed out any verses. He did another one called about Liverpool, which I said at a Kids and Cops concert. And Kids and Cops was kind of an initiative that the Liverpool police did, where they had a band in those days. It used to come to the school and things like that every year. But this Kids and Cops was a whole different range of schools in Liverpool getting together and each performing an act, and the police performed with them. And did some acts of their own, but also we had a finale with the police band playing and all the kids singing, and I had to do this other poem about, well, I did two Kids and Cops concerts. One I recited the Footy poem by Roger McGough, and another I recited the Liverpool poem and did some stuff on the hand chimes, etc., etc. But yeah, I had a lot of time for Ron Delacruz, and he read us some lovely books and things like that. And in Miss Wilkinson's class, we went to him for a couple of lessons a week. I also should mention Jim Taylor, who was the music teacher. Jim was blind, and he, after working at Wavertree, he went off to work for Tapton Mount and then went to the National Library in Stockport and worked there for a while. But He was a funny guy. He used to have a budgie called Pip that he'd taught to talk, and sometimes he would bring Pip into class for us to hear him talk and things. But he had several interesting ways of teaching, one of which was that every class would have a class song. So the names of every person in the class, because we only had small classes, about 10 or 12 or whatever, would be sung in this song. And it would have its own tune and everything, and it would be our class song. We had to sing at the beginning of every lesson with everybody's name in. He also used to do piano cricket as a game, which was quite funny. And then he used to give us all a signature tune related to various composers. And every week he would read us, short histories of different composers and play us bits of their work and things as well. I was Donna Handel. I remember Paul Peel in my class was Paul Beethoven. Who else did we have? We had Julia Beezay. She was my friend Julia Proctor. I don't remember them all, actually, but everyone had a signature tune, and he used to play them and say, who's this one? And we had to recognise them. He used to also make bangers out of Braille magazines, which were kind of like triangular shaped. And they made a great noise when you waved them in a certain way. And obviously he did stuff with various instruments and things like that. They used to get out for us to play. We used to play a game called Musical Keys. He was a great teacher. I used to have a piano lesson with him once a week. If you didn't learn your stuff, you know, you sometimes used to get cross with you. But I never used to mind too much, because my piano lesson was before I went home. Because I started at Wavertree as a day pupil. And then as I got older, I stayed for a week at a time and came home at weekends. And my piano lesson was on a Friday. And I was so anticipating going home, I used to put on my coat. And he used to put his hand on my back as I sat on the piano stool. And he used to say, you're the only little girl I know who plays piano in her coat. I remember that. he was ever so nice. He helped to bring music alive for us. He introduced us to Bizet's Carnival of the Animals and things like that. So again, they were sort of separate lessons that we had apart from our normal sort of class teachers. When I was 10, no, that's wrong. When I was 9, I moved into Miss Craig's class. Miss Craig was Scottish. I'm not sure what part of Scotland she came from. I don't think I really enjoyed the first year of her class very much, but I did enjoy the last year of school when I was in her class, and that made up for my bad year when I was 9. I think, I don't know what it was really. We just didn't click at first, Miss Craig and I, when I first, you know, came into her class, and I never really liked her. I remember one time I accidentally walked into my parents' television and smashed a carriage clock which was on the top of it. I hadn't meant to do it. I just kind of temporarily lost where I was. And she was really horrible to me about it and said, I hope you're going to pay for it out of your pocket money and things like that. And I hadn't meant to do it. It was a genuine, genuine accident. But the living room in our house at the time was very big and open. And I just misjudged. But so I didn't really enjoy that year all that much. And I think because I didn't enjoy it, I don't remember a huge amount about it. So I'll skip that year and go on to Mr. Dibble's class, John Dibble. He's on my Facebook. So very glad to still be in touch with him. John had previously taught the older people at Clifton House. They were like the sort of 16, 17 year olds. And so it was probably different for him coming then to teach us as 10-year-olds. And at the time he was teaching us, he was also doing his kind of teacher's exam, not to be a teacher, but it was a specific exam, I think, to do with teaching kids who were visually impaired. So he looked up all our eye conditions and told us what our eye conditions were and things like that. John was a big Liverpool fan as well. And I remember on Fridays, because a lot of people used to go home early, he used to take me and a few people to Sefton Park, or Seffy Park as he used to call it. And we'd all kind of mess around with the football and things. we used to have parties when it was somebody's birthday, and sometimes some of the mums would bring food in and stuff like that. I think one of the nice things about John was he never minded if things got a little bit rough. You know, if you were a girl and you wanted to fight, provided you weren't hurting anybody, you know, seriously hurting them, he'd let you get on with it. And it wasn't because he wasn't supervising you closely. He was just kind of letting you test your strength and abilities, really. One of the main things I remember about John was he took us one, I think it was Easter time, to the Lake District, and he'd been there previously with a group of people from Clifton House, and it gave us the opportunity to do a lot of stuff that we hadn't normally experienced. So we spent a day there and we went caving. We also did some canoeing and some activities like where you had to climb over each other's canoes to get into the canoe at the end of the row and things like that, and try paddling straight. And we had fantastic fun. There was also an assault course that we could try bits of. I think he had done gorge walking as well with the people at Clifton House, but we didn't have time to do that. And we had a fantastic time. It was great because we all kind of got stuck in and did stuff, and it was really brilliant. But I remember getting home, and a couple of days later, we used to have assembly at Wavertree. Mr. Marks, the headmaster, quite strict Northern Irishman, said, and what about you, Mr. Dibble's class? How did you enjoy the Lake District? And we all went, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, we loved it, you know, and all this. And then this one boy, who I won't name, said, in a very decided voice, I didn't like it. I got very wet. And there was just this big silence. Well, I'm not quite sure what happened to that character after the assembly finished, but I know, and I don't blame him, that John was really annoyed because he'd gone to a lot of trouble to organise this day for us. He, again, read us a lot of the Narnia books and things, and some of the ones that Mr. De La Cruz hadn't read to us. And he also read us a fantastic story by Sylvia Sherry called A Pair of Jesus Boots, about a guy called Rocky O'Rourke, who wanted to be a gangster, but actually ended up being, you know, quite a good guy. But it was all about the scrapes he got into. And of course, it was set in Liverpool, so John just had the right accent and everything to, you know, to carry it off, which was fantastic, really. We had great PE lessons with John Dibble. He used to play games with us like rats and rabbits, where you used to have to run from one side of the gym to the other to where the wall bars were. And he used to get the ropes out for us to swing on and different stuff like that. You know, I'd never really particularly enjoyed PE that much, but with him, PE was loads of fun. It was really, really good. And I loved it. One of my reading books when I was in John Dibble's class was Watership Down. And I hated it at first because there are a lot of those little notes those little appendices, you know, things like Elil meaning evil and Hrududu meaning a car and stuff like that. And I thought, what is this rubbish? But he said to me, persevere with it, Donna, he said, because I think it was in four volumes in Braille. He said, by the time you get to volume two, believe me, you won't want to put it down. And do you know what? He was absolutely right. And when I got to the bit where all the rabbits went to Ephrathah, and then and also heard the bit where they were gassed out of the other rabbits, Captain Holly, etc., were gassed out of the warren, things like that. I used to take my books to bed in those days, and oh, I think I stayed up nearly one whole night reading it, and so on. And I'm very grateful that he introduced me to that book. And he also said to me, and he's been proved right, he said, when you're older, Donna, you will love a book called The Lord of the Rings, because I was telling him that I'd read The Hobbit, and he said, when you're older, you love Lord of the Rings. And he was right, because I do love Lord of the Rings very much, and I've got the BBC play of it, as well as I've read the whole book in Braille, which I think was 11 volumes from the National Library for the blind. So, you know, he was proved right in those areas. We had a CSV in his class, a community service volunteer called Miss Anne. We used to have to call them Miss followed by their first name rather than their surname when they were CSVs. But Miss Anne was lovely, and she took me to her house a few times, and we went Latin dancing and did a few different things like that. Mr. Dibble, again, used to take us to the shop every week, and we could, you know, get things with our pocket money and so on. We used to have our own purse that we, you know, he used to sort of keep in a safe, and we used to get out and stuff. And I would say he probably, out of all my teachers, was the one that encouraged me most to use my imagination and things. He used to have a notice board, and if anybody did any good work, we used to have to braille it out in cardboard, and then it was all put up on the notice board for other class members to go and feel and read and look at. And that year, my father got tickets for Wembley. Liverpool played Tottenham in the Milk Cup, as it was called then. And he said to me, "Right, Donna, what we're going to do is you're going to write me a story about what you think it will be like. And then when you get back, you're going to write me a story about what it was actually like." And that's what we did. And he put both of those up on the notice board and so on. And it was interesting to compare the two. I haven't got any of that written down now, unfortunately. So that was John Dibble, really. I was very sad when he left. He left at the end of the year that he taught us. Yeah, that was, you know, it was quite a sad occasion, but I think we all benefited from his teaching. And then came my final year at Wavertree, which is the last one I'll talk about, when I was back in Maureen Craig's class. And I don't know what it was. I think that year I was just a much more confident person. My mobility and finding my way around had improved, and you know, I'd got better at my, you know, spatial awareness and things like that. So I wasn't kind of getting lost, and I was running around and really, you know, really enjoying life. And I loved that last year in Miss Craig's class. I don't know, we clicked that year, really, really did. She took us on some lovely outings. We went to York, and we went to London. We saw the Natural History Museum, and there was a commentary, and you could feel all the stuffed animals and things, which was fantastic. I think she took us to a Shire Horse Centre once. She read us some books that we hadn't read before, like The 101 Dalmatians, Danny, Champion of the World, and The Silver Sword by Ian Serraglio, which is a fantastic book. We had fun, as well as working hard. There were lots of comprehensions. She used to get me to go to the dictionary and look words up, and then I'd have to write a sentence about each of the words. If you bear in mind that the Concise Oxford Dictionary in Braille was in 16 volumes, so I had to find the right volume and then find the right word and then compose a sentence with the word in. I look back on that year with a lot of fondness, really. I do, very much. And I really enjoyed it. My time's going to run out soon, so I'll finish off by talking about Mr. Marks, who was the headmaster of the school in all my time there. Mr. Marks was unpopular with a lot of people, but with me, he was nearly always lovely. And he used to have a mythical electric slipper, which he used to threaten to get out if we were naughty. None of us ever saw the electric slipper, of course, but it was something that did instill fear in us around the school. One of Mr. Marks's favourite things to do seemed to be whenever visitors came to the school, and we did get a lot of visitors, I would always be called out of my class, and he'd have some Braille book in his office, and I'd have to read to these people. As I got older, of course, the books got more difficult. He used to call me Crackerjack. I remember him in the dining room at dinner time, if it got too noisy, he would just stand up and clap his hands very, very loudly, and we'd all have to quieten down, and so on. I only ever once saw him in a bad temper, and that was over a small incident regarding something that was stolen. It was actually one of my friends had said that one of the cleaners had stolen something of mine, but she'd taken it. So initially he was angry with me, but then we realised what the problem was and he was angry with my friend. But he was a great guy, and